name is Rod Simonetti. It's good to be here tonight. I think this is the safest place for me tonight. And I said I'm so happy to be here. I'm going to tell this short story, so it could be hard, but for me it's very, very important to tell because it's part of my history, part of my life, and part of my personality today. I'm from Montenegro originally, and I lived in this country 16 months, and I find it's very hard for me to stay here, to live here, to deal with the people, to deal with the language, to deal with the job, to deal with the managers, to deal even with my dog. I find it's very hard for me. I'm going to be clean 7 years in about 7 days.
So that's,
it's very, very important to pronounce that because the story what I'm about to tell right now. I was a very good kid, and my mom was a professor in a high school. My dad was a politician. He was a counselor to the President of the Republic. And I played football like every kid, I suppose, liked to play football. And when I was 13, I had an invitation for my national team, for cadets, for kids. And it was Yugoslavia, called Yugoslavia. We were the world champion that year. I played forward. I was the best scorer in the World Cup. But in the final, we lost it 2-0 against Russia. And I scored 2 goals for 2-2. And the guy from Russia broke my right leg on 6 places. So I don't remember anything else. I woke up in hospital next morning with a lot of morphine in my body. And I said, what the fuck? I was so high. I was so happy. I was so pleased. And I had only 13 years. But I was so happy. Because there is no pain. Everything disappeared. And everything was some kind of beautiful. And everything was whistling in my head as well. And somehow, I don't know, after 6 months, when I got ready to get back, my dad never gave me opportunity to get back to play football professionally because the doctor said that I supposed to go to have operation because my neck was going on the right side, my spine is not good, and the chance to stay on my 2 feet are 50-50. And my dad said, no, he's not going to go to the operation, but he's not going to play football as well. So I was so fucked up because of that, because football was everything to me. I swear, football was everything to me. Today I'm playing football with my friends. But that was a very, very special moment in my life because after that I started to drink, I started to smoke the weed, I started to drink a lot of pills. Maybe, probably, because I found that I was very, very shy, that I was very, very scared to approach the girl. And when I started to drink and when I started to smoke the cigarette and smoke the weed and drink the pills, I found that I'm very, very courageous. Do you know what I mean? I was very, very approachable to the people. And I thought that I'm pretty smartest guy in the world. But somehow, I was good in the school. After everything, I was good in the school. And somewhere after, I don't know, after my high school, I had 18 years old, who was from Yugoslavia, know that in my region was some obligation to serve, to be a part of national service. And it lasted 1 year. So I went to the army, and I was a kid. I had 17 years and 8 months when I went to the army. Somehow, I had to avoid it, but it would be a shame if I don't go because the family would be embarrassed, and I said, I'm going to go to the army, and that's it. And when I went to the army, I continued to use the pills and the drink and a lot of alcohol and that kind of shit, and the war appeared in Yugoslavia. I think that's a familiar story to everyone here. 1990. First, 1992 or 1993, I think, I don't remember anymore, but it was somewhere there at that time. And to the end of my national service, they sent us in Bosnia, and we were the fucking kids. It was our 13 boys to go over there. And the war was religious. The war was ethnical. If someone asked me today why war happened, I would say, I don't know. because I really don't know, and I think no one knows. And in one moment they captured some Muslim boys, and they said to me, you have to kill this guy, because he's going to rape your mother, he's going to rape your sister, he's going to rape you after all. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And this guy, Colonel, I think, he said to me, I'm going to kill you if you're not going to do it. And I said, you can shoot me, I'm not going to do it. I started to cry, they put me on my knees, they put my hands in handcuffs. They was breaking my face, breaking my teeth, torturing me. I don't remember, did I sexually abuse or I don't know, but I really don't remember. I spent 1 month in military prison. And as I said, my dad was a politician and he got some connections and he brought me back in Montenegro and I had nightmares. It was the worst part of my life. And I signed the law school, law university, but I had nightmares and everything. And one friend of mine said to me, I have a solution to your problems. And I said, what? You should try this. And that was the first time that I tried heroin. And everything just disappeared just like this. Everything just drifted away. Everything, every pain, every memory, everything. Actually, everything was there, but somehow I find a way to deal with that. Because heroin took it away. Heroin was my mom, my dad, my everything. Heroin was everything to me. Without heroin, I was nothing. And I think, actually I'm not thinking, I'm quite sure that drugs saved my life. They saved my life because I wouldn't be here today, because I would be dead because the life, what I live for over there. It was very, very painful. It was a lot of killing, a lot of torturing, a lot of disaster on the streets. And somehow drugs saved my life. And I really enjoyed it in the first couple of years to use. But afterwards it was so breaking down. I lost myself, I lost my personality. My mom was dying, and somewhere during my using I had hepatitis C, and I went to treatment for that as well. And I'm going to pass the story because I don't have the time. Last 3 months of my using, I used more than 22 years. Last 3 months of my using, I was homeless, like a poor London people on the street with a cup in the hand. I didn't beg, but it was like I'm begging, sitting over there, someone put some change. I'm not saying that I didn't have a flat to go, but if I go to my flat, there is rules. There is my father, there is my mom, there is my brother, there is the people who are going to give me rules, and I don't want to live by rules. I want to live by straight rules, because I like it. It's about me, I like it. That's acceptable for my personality. And I use the needle from everyone. That was normal, to share the needle, blood and everything. That was very, very normal. And the last 3 days, somehow I get back home. But as I said, my mom was dying and she was in Belgrade, in military hospital with my brother. And one day he called me and he said, she said your name and the doctor said she's going to die every moment. You need to come here. I booked your flight. Go to the airport, catch the flight. I'm going to wait for you at the Belgrade airport and just to see her. And I had 80 tramadols in my body, a lot of alcohol, a lot of weed, but still I was in crisis because my body was so fucked up. I had 59 kilos in that moment. I was dying. I was a dead body. And thank you. And when I dropped the phone, I already forgot that I was spoken with my brother. And after a few hours, he called me and he said, you are a cunt, you are an asshole. He cried and he said, maybe it's better your mom is our mom died, just passed away. And it's better for you to go to the first bridge and jump, but not on the river. Make sure to jump on concrete to know that you're going to die. Because I cannot, you are disgusting. I cannot, he said to me every bad words. And my dealer just arrived and I took 5 grams of heroin in 2 syringes and I put it in my veins and something was whistling in my head and I just woke up next morning in a hospital with a lot of needles in my body. They gave me adrenaline, they saved my life. The guy actually from Belgrade saved my life because I was dead a few seconds, my heart stopped the ticking. And that was 4 July 2008. And I said, I'm never going to use again. I don't know how, but I'm going to make it. And then I went to treatment center. I spent there 1 year. I finished their 12 steps, and the doctor who saved my life, he was there for me. 3 years afterwards, I had a phone call from him, and he said to me, "Are you in the mood to work with me, like a support worker, to help the people in 12 Step Treatment Center?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fucking gonna do it, man. I like it." And that was the best part of my recovery. After I was clean 3 years, I think, I don't remember anymore. And then I found that it was very hard for me to come here in this country, but somehow I'm here today. As I said in the beginning, I'm not going to repeat the story, but I'm really struggling here, but somehow I learned how to fight, how to fight in recovery. I learned how to fight with the people in my mind, how to keep my mind busy, and sometimes it's very hard because sometimes I'm doing it to my muscles because I'm not using program all the time, because I'm not in 12 steps all the time, because for me it would be obsessive to be all the time in that, because when I feel the pain, if I want to use the 12 steps, I'm feeling that pain, I'm living that pain, and I'm dealing with that pain. So that's part of my personality as well. So somehow I'm staying clean today, and I'm going to continue to stay clean. Thanks for letting me share.